Get ready for a week-long celebration of music, community, and fabulous fun with Joy Radiothon 2024. Joy has the largest collection of rainbow podcast content in the world, and you can help keep us out loud and proud by donating during Joy Radiothon 2024. Just go to joy.org.au/radiothon. Mark it in your calendars because Joy Radiothon returns June 1st to 7th. And remember, we all flourish with joy.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLB, TIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9.
Had a very exciting afternoon here on the Escape Pod, Sarah. We've got kerfuffles going on. We've got volunteers left, right and centre. We have people signing up and we have a guest today.
We do indeed. We have the lovely Genevieve Bailey joining us to chat a little bit about her fantastic film, I Am 11.
Yeah, she'll be in just a little bit later on in the hour.
Absolutely.
And we've got a whole bunch of things that have been going on this week, Sarah. It's been a very exciting week, especially if you're the CEO of Ryanair and you've got an Irish pop star chafing at the bit.
Absolutely. After your hide and then some. The fantastic Brian McFadden. Mm-hmm. Well, I suppose perhaps we'll leave the jury
McFad
on how awesome he is. Perhaps if you're a Delta fan, maybe not so much. From Is It Australia's Got Talent or one of those equally enthralling shows, was back home.
Talent's Got Editing, I think.
Was back at home in the UK trying to take a flight back to Ireland and didn't work out so well for him.
And he recoiled in horror when he was given a £70 bill for printing out his boarding card. Usually with flights, people assume that boarding cards and the flight come with the cost.
Exactly.
But not with Ryanair. And Ryanair is actually quite famous for this. And
yes,
the CEO embraces the cheap flight concept, is we give you bare minimum. Mm. Everything else you pay a premium for. So
exactly,
if you don't want it, if you want everything, go pay for a full price fare. If you want the cheapest, you can come with us.
Yeah.
But don't expect much. And he made a joke, I think it was about 18 months, 2 years ago, about he was going to charge everyone two quid to use the bog.
Oh, good Lord.
Yeah. And I don't think that was overly well embraced by the flying public, but it was part of his publicity thing. But,
yeah,
Mr. McFadden has used the word scumbag.
He has. Talked to Twitter and with a right royal telling off for the gentleman who runs Ryanair for ripping off his countrymen, because apparently Ryanair is perceived as this, you know, very much as part of Irish identity and
yes,
whatnot, a little bit like Qantas and Australia. And the $70 fee for printing the boarding pass. Look, the bog thing I have a problem with, because once you're on the plane, you have not got no other options.
Well, you can't roll down a window.
No. Whereas with the boarding pass, at least you can get on your printer at home and squeeze it out, but no. Mr. McFadden.
It's quite a choice of words.
Yes. Mr. McFadden couldn't quite do that, and £70 later, he wasn't interested in his boarding pass. Also, apparently, an £80 fee for being slightly over with
four kilos
over on his golf bags.
But he had a classic tanty.
Yes.
Stormed, minced right out of that airport, got on a train. I think he went from Liverpool to London.
Mm.
It doesn't say which airport in London he went to, but he caught the train.
Yes.
And then flew to Ireland at great expense. And the man's not short of a bob.
No,
I mean,
he's
done very well with his career. He's a very talented performer and entertainer, and well done. But he did not want to part with those hard sung for bucks.
No. I mean, admitted
his
in his Twitter situation that paying for the train ticket and then a new flight also with a premium airline from London did end up costing him a bucket load more money, but apparently it's the principle of the thing.
Yeah.
I suppose you can afford to have principles like that when you're pulling in the kind of bucks that Brian McFadden is too. But nonetheless.
Yeah, a lot of people don't have the options that Mr. McFadden did, but the thing that he highlighted was there are people in Ireland who don't have the options that he does.
Absolutely.
A, the time. B, the ability, because he was travelling on his own. Some people have families.
Mm.
Some people couldn't afford to spend the extra money and have the luxury of making choices.
If you're coming from that kind of, you know, background in terms of the amount of money that you're dealing with, you probably don't have a printer at home as well. So you've really actually got to go out of your way.
Yeah, yeah. Printers are dirt cheap. It's the ink.
Yeah.
The ink is the boarding card of computing.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's how they get you. It's $20 for a printer, $1,000 for the ink.
Exactly.
What you going to do without the ink?
Exactly. But here at Joy 94.9, we have a better idea for what you can do with, in fact, less than 70 pounds, thanks to the
exchange
rate. What
could you do with less than 70 pounds?
Well, with less than 70 pounds, you could become a full member here at Joy 94.9.
You're what?
$72 Australian.
Mm-hmm.
Get on the phone. Sorry, maybe the cost of your phone call as well. No, it's a freebie, actually, to chat to our lovely volunteers out in the phone room.
Yeah, we've got some brilliant people out here who are working very hard at getting membership signed up, because Joy is free to air, but we're not free to go to air.
Exactly.
And we need your support. We're a part of the community, and we are the voices of the community. And Sarah, you are a recently joined member of Joy.
So I've been a member of Joy for 4 or so years.
Yeah.
And then, of course, just recently did Taste of Radio to get myself here on air.
So people just call 1-300-JOY-949.
Exactly.
They can join up and then they can access things like Taste of Radio.
Exactly. You do have to be a member to be part of Taste of Radio. So if you know, that fantastic learning opportunity, whether you want to, you know, do this that we do or not, super learning opportunity if you want to be a news elf or any, you know, thing around the station.
Yeah, you don't have to be front of house.
No.
There's lots of things to do to add value and to support the community. Simply a phone call, 1-300-JOY-949. Give us your credit card details. We've got a bunch of beautiful, shiny people who have given up their wonderful sunny Saturday afternoon. They're not going body surfing. They're in here.
including a couple
away.
Of Taste of Radio graduates out there as well. So you can talk
yes,
to them.
Yes, we certainly do.
And
the nudie foodie, you could speak to him live.
Ooh.
P. Dilly is out there.
Ready to take your call as well.
The Secret Butcher.
Yeah, so
he's
maybe
ready
can,
for your call.
You can get some recipe ideas or a restaurant recommendation while you're in here becoming a member with Joy 94.9. Or, you know.
And feel free to give him your credit card details while you're at it.
Exactly. And if you
to
are.
To join Joy.
To join Joy, exactly. And if you are a restaurant, you could even join as a business member of Joy.
Join as a business, join up with your pets as a family.
You name it, if you're a concession.
Even human family members.
Exactly.
It's a whole rainbow.
If you must, then you can bring in your human family members. But, you know, all range of different options for you. If you're a concession card holder of any kind of description, we'll just slash half off. And you can be a member of Joy and support, you know, the station that we all love and have in our cars and our homes every day.
Yep. Have us in your ears all day. Do it. Well, we're very excited and we'd love to hear from people who are joining up, and if you have any questions or if you want to make any comments about the membership drive, this probably won't be the last time you hear about it.
No.
So feel free to reach out to us here. Joy is 1-300-JOY-949, or you can SMS us 0427-JOY-949, or just email us at onair@joy.org.au. Sarah, I'm enthralled by our guest today.
Yes.
Tell us a little bit about our guest.
So we are going to be hearing in just a few minutes from the lovely Genevieve Bailey. Now, if you are a film festival aficionado like I am, you might have heard of or even possibly seen her film at MIFF in 2011.
What's MIFF?
MIFF is the Melbourne International Film Festival. Program release coming up soon if you're looking for, you know, things to do in Melbourne.
I'm sure we'll have the website popped on the address popped on our website.
Absolutely.
Yep.
But for those of you who have been going for a while, you might have heard of I Am 11, which in 2011, I believe, won an Audience Choice Award at MIFF. So we'll be hearing from Genevieve about all of the massive travels that come with 15 countries and 11-year-old subjects in each of those. Very interesting stories to tell, I'm absolutely certain. And I've been watching the doco in the last few days, and well worth the viewing as well if you want to, what's your expression, go around the world?
Go around the world in 80 minutes.
Yes, or 120 odd in this particular case.
I have watched it. It's very good. Mm. It's very endearing. And there's a very interesting story to how Genevieve got to producing the film. And I can't wait to hear Genevieve tell everybody about that very soon. So we had a few other things that are coming up. We found the we had a guest last week who was talking about Canadian Dave, who was talking about he's going to Tel Aviv for the Pride Festival. And this week we happened upon Tel Aviv Pride's YouTube advertisement.
Yes. Very entertaining.
Yeah, so Google it. Tel Aviv Pride, it's sung in Hebrew mostly. Apart from a few stanzas in English, most of it is in Hebrew, which I'm sure some of our listeners do speak or at least understand, not me. And it is a very entertaining film clip, and it probably gives you a different take on what you would assume to see in the Middle East.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, he's certainly frocked up.
some gender bending entertainment. Yeah, there's the Middle East.
Exactly, gender blending.
Exactly.
In this, and he's trotting around on the Mediterranean shore, and it's a really good view, and well done to people in Tel Aviv. And I know that Israel is probably one of the most open-minded of the Middle Eastern countries.
Absolutely, but still not without its opposition in terms of the kind of Orthodox religious types. But mm-hmm. Tel Aviv definitely not taking that lying down in 100,000 odd people for pride in the...
No, they're on their knees.
Absolutely. In more ways than one. But absolutely enjoying themselves on the banks there and in
Tel Aviv, on the beautiful beaches.
Exactly.
And we also have heard a lot about gay cruising, especially for European and Northern Hemisphere summer.
Yes, absolutely, because there is no better enticement to leave Melbourne than the weather we've had over the last 24 hours or so.
Yeah, record rains, exactly. And which is great. I had a look at Melbourne Water this morning to see what the dam levels were like, and it's nice to see pretty much everything in the high percentages, 70s, 60s, 70s, 80s. There's only one dam, Maroondah, which was still 48% or something, but it's really nice to see the dam so full.
Absolutely.
And I'm sure there's still some rain in these clouds.
Exactly.
And it's first day of winter.
And if you do want to escape that kind of weather here in Melbourne, then cruising around the Northern Hemisphere in your Speedos is definitely the time, to be doing it. So perhaps we'll be talking about that a little bit later.
We will, but we do want to hear from our listeners today. So when you've got your credit cards out and your dialing fingers on and you're calling up to join up, Joy 94.9, we also want you to let us know what you're going to do this weekend in this drizzly grey weekend. Are you going to go around the world for 80 minutes? Let's hear what you've got to say. Otherwise... don't tell us that and just sign up. Join 94.9. So we have an amazing young guest today, and I hope you don't mind me saying young, but you're very accomplished, and that's
Absolutely.
Very impressive. Welcome, Genevieve Bailey.
Thank you. That's a nice introduction.
Well, what you've done is really quite incredible, and it started off very, very young in your life. And you're young now, but when this started to ferment and when the seed started to fertilise, you were very young.
Yeah, that's right. I was 24 when I started this adventure of making this film, I'm 11, and quite simply I was going through a difficult time, and my dad had passed away from cancer and I had been in a serious car accident, so physically was feeling pretty rotten, and I just wanted to make something positive. So I decided to give myself a challenge of leaving Australia for the first time, because I'd never been out of Australia before, and I'd made lots of short films and documentaries and music videos, but nothing long. So I thought I'd love to give myself a challenge of shooting a film around the world.
See, this is what gets me, because you had never left the country before and you think to yourself, I'm going through some, pretty horrible time. I think the way to, deal with it is maybe to go away and have a change of life and change of scenery. Most kind of 20-something-year-old Australians would go and lie on a beach in Thailand or maybe drink their way around Amsterdam or something like that. But no, Genevieve gets on a plane with a camera and let's go and make a feature-length film.
Yeah, I agree. Like, I suppose... it was tempting at that age to go and hang out with people like you and go and see cities in a more relaxing kind of way, perhaps. But I found it really relaxing landing somewhere, not knowing anyone, not necessarily having any friends or contacts there, and making myself work. I love making films. So I would land in a new city. And my real interest in travelling was not just to see sights, but to actually go inside a family home, get to know people, try local food and experience the culture in a much more, I suppose, intimate way, rather than just being an outsider walking around looking at buildings.
Yeah, absolutely.
So the documentary is I Am 11.
Yes.
And quite obviously it deals with being 11.
Yes.
Tell us about what the concept is of the documentary.
Yeah, well, the concept is, like I said, I wanted to go overseas and make a film, but the most important thing for me was that the film was hopeful and positive. I think so much of what we see in the media is really depressing. So much of what we read in the news and cinema and television, it leaves you feel a bit disheartened, I think. And I thought, oh, I don't want to make anything like that. There's enough of that. I want to make something that's going to energise audiences and hopefully energise me in the process of making it. So I thought back to my favourite age in life, and that was when I was 11. So I thought, what would it be like to be 11 today around the world? So that's how the idea kind of started. And the finished film, 6 years after shooting around the world, is about personal and global issues through the eyes of 11-year-olds. So it's not a project that's just for kids. It's for anyone who's ever been 11 or will soon be, which is what we say, which is everyone. So anyone who's listening right now has been 11 and can watch the film and connect with their own inner 11-year-old as well.
What was the biggest commonality you found about kids around the world as they were either approaching being or about to exit the age of 11?
I think the common trait which I really admired in all of them is this sense of curiosity and also a sense of hope and the ability to think that things are possible. I think as we grow up, we start thinking how hard everything is, how expensive, how difficult, how torn we are about achieving what we want. Whereas when they're 11, all these kids kind of express their ideas in a very unaffected, you know, they're not affected by ego. They just tell it how it is and they have a lot of energy and passion about life, which is very infectious, which is why I'm glad I've been hanging out with so many of them.
Yeah, look, we were talking before off air about how incredibly articulate the kids were and how well they communicated their thoughts. It wasn't just the vocabulary they used. And this is globally, these kids, some with English as a second language or even lower on the totem pole, and some have been translated. There's a huge diversity of the children from socioeconomic backgrounds, religious backgrounds, educational backgrounds, and the commonality seemed to be their, I don't know, you tell me, what did you think the commonality was?
I think that they all had a sort of self-belief, I found, that I think that sometimes when you become a teenager, life gets a bit more complicated and sometimes you become more self-censoring, or when you're a teenager, you're worried, do I look cool? Does this sound cool? Am I fitting in? And I think 11 is just a little bit before that for most people. So they do actually believe in themselves. They love their friends. They're really into something by then, whether it's singing, whether it's basketball, whether it's cats, whether it's rapping, you know, whatever it is, they're really passionate about something, whether it's swimming with elephants into the river like Got and Jack in Thailand. So I think they have a passion for life, and they also, their blinkers are off. I think, you know, they're looking out into the world in an excited way rather than feeling too daunted or threatened by what's out there.
Absolutely. And I mean, watching it, the thing I going into it was expecting, because, you know, what we would all be like in front of a camera is a bit awkward and, like you say, self-censoring. But these kids are all really comfortable with you. Clearly, I mean, you're probably a great interviewer as well, but they really comfortable laying out, you know, and whatever it is that they're interested in, they will not stop twice before, you know, think twice before they barrel on talking about it. And they're really genial and really warm to, you know, to watch as a result. It's a really amazing, you know, probably symptom of the age, I suppose.
Yeah, what I also like is that since we've released the film, we released it in cinemas around Australia, and I travelled all around Australia and now around the world to 11 countries to screen the film, is that audience members come up to me, grab me by the arm and give me very direct feedback and very honest feedback. And they often share a lot about themselves now as an adult or when they were a child. And I think...
What are some examples of that, Genevieve?
We had a woman in Sydney, actually, who had a real school teacher kind of voice about her. And she said, excuse me, I need to talk to you. And I said, yes. And she grabbed me by the arm and she said, now I'm turning 80 this year and I've got to slow down. I've been telling myself I can't keep doing everything I want to do. I'm getting old and I've just got to face facts. But after seeing your film and hearing the 11-year-olds and hearing you talk, why should I slow down? I'm not going to slow down. She said, I'm going to get off my bum and do something. I said, that's awesome. What are you going to do? She goes, I haven't decided yet, but I'm going to do something. And she marched off with a handbag and I thought, that's awesome, because a lot of kids come and see the film and are very inspired and they say, I want to travel or I want to know more about this or that. And then you get a lot of you know, single people. It's not a film that's just for parents. You get a lot of older people who connect with it and become energized. And that was my goal as a filmmaker when I set out to make something that would energize audiences. And I'm so happy. We get emails and messages on Facebook every day from people telling us how I'm 11 makes them feel. And that's the best reward you could get, really, is knowing that you've, you know, influenced people in a positive way and made them happy.
So take us through the journey of becoming the filmmaker. You had the idea.
Yeah.
And of course, so you got all the logistics, you get the money and so forth. And you're going around the world, you're going to a whole bunch of places. I'm sure that you didn't have a huge cast and crew behind you. So tell us about what this epic story-making story was.
Sure. Well, my first trip leaving Australia, I went to Tokyo, because when I was 11, I started learning Japanese and I've always had a love for Japanese, the language and culture.
What a way to start. That's fantastic.
Yeah. So I arrived in Tokyo. Within half an hour of catching the train from the airport, I wrote to my travel agent saying, I need to stay here longer. Within half an hour, I knew I loved Japan. And then I shot there and went on to the Czech Republic and I had a screening of my short films in Prague. And in the audience was a guy who I didn't know and didn't know me at the time, but loved seeing my short films. And I joked that he fell for my films and then for me, and that was Henrik. So he became my partner in crime as well as co-producer of the film. We then went on to a number of places in Europe and the US and back to Australia. And even though I had heaps of great footage, I thought, I can't finish this film without going to China. And then I thought, I've got to go somewhere in Eastern Europe And then I thought, I can't finish I'm 11 without going to India. So every year I'd come back to Melbourne, work two or three jobs, save up money, would buy a ticket, go away again, come back, work two or three jobs, save up money. So it became something that a ritual every year. Mm. We would really be focused on channeling everything we had into making this film. Mm. So we'd get as cheap a flights as possible. We'd stay in really cheap places or friends of friends' couches and just put all our energy into making the film.
Hold that thought. We want to talk about Airbnb a bit later, but while everyone's bracing themselves to listen to the next amazing track that Sarah's got, get your credit card out, dial 1300 JOY 949. We've got a room full of some of the most beautiful people you'll ever see who have volunteered their amazing sunny Saturday to be here to fleece you of your dime and join you up to be a part of the family here at Joy 94.9. We can't wait to have you as one of us, and send us your emails and talk to us about how excited you are about becoming a Joy 94.9 member.
Today, Genevieve Bailey, who is the filmmaker behind I Am 11, before we get back to chatting about her crazy adventures around 15 countries making this film. Mark, I understand that it's Radiothon and we might have some new members.
We do. We have some new members of the family that have just been phoning in our beautiful volunteers who are available on 1300 JOY 949. We have a couple and we're going to let you know who they are. How about that? We've got Mark from Hyatt and his two cats. Madison and Trinity are now Joy members. Good on them. Hope they don't win too many prizes. So thank you very much for that, Mark. A very special thank you for life member Jody from Melbourne for her continued support and donation. So even people who are life members are opening up the purse strings and helping Joy stay on air. So thank you very much, Jody, for that. Very much appreciated. Deb has rejoined the family with thanks very much. And Deb, thank you very much to you and your family for rejoining Joy 94.9. And Graham from Brunswick has also given a very generous donation. And we love that. So you're not limited to just handing out money for a membership. You can certainly ramp up your paradigm. And even a corporate donation, we can do that. You can donate away.
Absolutely.
We love donations. Donations are great.
Exactly. When you're doing your membership, it's all that much easier to just round it up, and the lovely tax man
round it up to the nearest thousand
and the lovely tax man will give you your money back at tax.
Absolutely.
Because it is tax deductible any donations over $2.
David from Rosanna East has also joined up. Thank you very much. And we have the Nudie Foodie was just so excited about rejoining himself that he has nearly wet his strides. He was so excited.
I hope that's with the glass of wine that he might have accidentally dropped since he's a...
Hopefully not while he was driving.
Yeah, well, no, this is very true.
Joy and Jules is the responsible consumption of alcohol.
Yes, absolutely.
So, Genevieve, talking about responsible consumption, your film has a very positive social message, and you went around the world to 15 different countries, lots of logistics, lots of exciting things. So tell us, what was your favourite experience making this film and which country and why? I know it's a bit like, who's your favourite kid, but everyone really has one.
It's funny, sometimes people in Q&As, when we screen the film, they say, who is your favourite kid? And I say, do you have any siblings? And they say, yes. And I say, did you ever ask your mum or dad who the favourite was in the family? And they go, no. I'm like, maybe I'm the only kid who did that. But my mum used to always say, you're all my favourites. And I do feel like all these places that I went to were all new experiences for me. I'd never been outside of Australia. Went to 15 countries.
So just write it down so we can see. And
I can tell you who were very, very, very popular with audiences around the world. Mm. Firstly, Billy, who's from London in the UK. He's hilarious. He's a really great sense of humour and a very unique way of expressing himself. He talks about how he stores. I ask him how he's got such a good memory, basically. And he says, I said, do you write it all down or do you store it in your head? And he said, yeah, I store it at the back of my head here. That's why you can see this little lumpy bit at the back here, and it's hotter because it holds too many memories. I thought, isn't that awesome?
Amazing. And
so he has lots of things that make audiences laugh a lot, which is great, because lots of documentaries make you feel a bit down about the world, and I wanted to make something that made people laugh. Remy, also the French boy, as you will remember.
Oh, he was very serious, yes. Young boy.
I loved him, though. I was that kind of an 11-year-old, and so when he came on, I was like, oh, there's something that I recognise.
Yeah.
He was a solar-powered Voltaire. In the French countryside, in a energy self-sufficient farm, and very serious boy who does not like racism.
Yeah, he loves snakes, doesn't like racists.
Yeah.
He's very to the point.
Funny enough, because they're basically the same thing.
But yeah, I think all the kids brought something different to the film, which is why I like that, as you've just said, you know, you could relate to Remy. Maybe there's someone in the film that you could relate to when you watch it and kind of bring back some memories. But all the kids kind of touched me in different ways and warmed my heart, and especially the kids in India.
Mm, so we've started from an orphanage, right?
Yeah, in Kerala. So we started a foundation called Darling Heart to help raise support for these kids living in an orphanage. They were short of many things, but the one thing they weren't short of was love. And we went over there and we realised, you know, these kids are amazing and very resilient, but they didn't have adequate access to healthcare and basic housing needs and education. So we're raising money to go over there every year and to help them out. We just got back there last month and took them surfing. Some of them had never been to the beach, so we spent 6 hours in the bus, on the bumpy bus, getting to the coast.
Yeah, right, because it was quite high up in Kerala, because Kerala is a very fertile, lush, green, tropical, very mountainous, beautiful part of India. And one of their claims to fame is their literacy rate is incredibly high.
Mm. Yes, it is. And so the kids now, the home has built their own school. So they've got a primary school, so all the kids are going to school and then they go on to high school. So the kids from I'm 11 are now teenagers in high school with ambitions of being teachers and doctors and nurses. And we want to make sure that we can never see them not going to further study because of financial hardship. So we're really passionate about keeping in touch with all our darlings in India.
They were cute because they called each other sisters. There was the four or five girls and they were all 11, called each other sisters, and they act like
absolutely. The thing that really got me, really, because they were introduced quite early on in the film, and one young lady, the kind of gang leader of these guys, says to you to camera, "I did, you know, until today, I didn't know what an interview was, and this is the first time I've seen a foreigner."
Yeah,
but they were clearly so comfortable with you, and just, you know, really, as you said, resilient. They're moving house during the course of the film as well, and just that kind of 11-year-old ability to bounce back and be, as you've been saying, positive about absolutely everything.
Yeah,
just astonishing.
Now, globally, people are really concerned about the health and safety and privacy of their families and their children.
Yeah.
And how did you get around interviewing and having children on screen with parents, some who may not have the ability to communicate easily because of English or whatever reason? Also, children in an orphanage and so forth. It must have been a legal nightmare for you in all these different jurisdictions to be able to communicate and manage that. And of course, governments are always very concerned about what happens with exploitation of children.
Yeah.
What was that like to deal with?
Yeah, that was something that I had to be very conscious of and very responsible with from the get-go. Basically, I had three rules: that the child had to be 11. Funnily enough, I did have people with short 12-year-olds trying to convince me, no, I don't know. But they had to be 11. They had to want to be involved. So the child had to want to be involved. And then the third rule was that the parent or guardian had to give permission, written permission, and I would work with translators or interpreters to make sure they understood that, because when you're working with people under 18, you obviously have to get permission from an adult. And so I'm really glad that no parents or guardians that I spoke to were not willing to give me permission. And, that was my job as a producer, to make sure everyone was comfortable, they understood what the project was, that they trusted me, that the parents trusted me, and that they felt safe and comfortable to be involved. So I'm really glad that everyone involved, you know, was. I think that's it was a big challenge, as you say, around the world in different languages and turning up and in many different cultures. But I'm really glad the response was really positive. So
The one that I noticed, you spend a little bit of time in Morocco with a young lady there, and it seems like you're wrangling the whole family as opposed to just the 11-year-old, because they're off camera giving her instructions about what she needs to say and whatnot. It's very endearing. But
yeah, for anyone who's listening who's been to Morocco, I was warned before I went there, you know, you can't go to Morocco on your own, a girl with a video camera. You can't travel around that region on your own. You're going to get into strife. And I just thought, I've paid £10 for my ticket to Morocco from London. I'm not cancelling it. So I went. And
in for a penny, in for pounds.
Yeah. I got this cheap flight, and I was about 6 hours south of Marrakesh in quite a remote village and looking for 11-year-olds, and this girl jumped out from behind a tree and kissed me on each cheek and said, "Ça va?" And I asked my interpreter, "Do you think she's 11? I think she's 11. And Dunya said, "No, no, she wouldn't be 11. And I was like, "Oh, I've got a pretty good radar by now." And of course, she was 11, and Siham was a joy to meet. But unfortunately, well, not unfortunately, but as a director, it was quite challenging because every man, woman, and their donkey came out of their homes to see what I was doing.
Yeah, and that's a literal expression, yeah. Every man, woman, and donkey. Yeah,
exactly.
That's not donkeys, figurative.
Chickens, there was, yeah.
So I was standing trying to interview Siham, and everyone was either standing behind the camera yelling at her what to say. Tell her we're poor. Don't tell her we don't have electricity. Tell her the women don't work. Tell her this. And she turns around and says to one of them, what do you think if I tell her we don't have electricity, she'll connect it? And it's like one of my favourite lines in the film. So she was very cheeky and she was very bold. And I was thinking if everyone in Brunswick was watching me being interviewed in my street, I'd be a bit embarrassed. So I said to Dunya, my translator, can we take her somewhere a bit more private? And she just laughed and said, they don't see white girls with video cameras ever. So everyone knows you're here. So everyone wants to have a little sticky beak.
Yes.
So that was a bit of a fun adventure in Morocco, trying to make sure she was comfortable. But when I got back to Melbourne, what I love about Melbourne is there's people from all over the world. So having to find translators here generally wasn't very hard. I found Dutch, I found German, I found Japanese, Chinese, but I couldn't find anyone who understood what Siham was saying. So what I had to do
because
is...
she speaks Maghrebi Arabic.
She speaks a unique dialect of Berber. So basically, SBS, anyone I contacted had no idea what she's saying. So I hit Sydney Road in Coburg and went up to anyone who looked vaguely Moroccan and said, hey, man, are you Moroccan? Eventually, after a significant amount of time, found a guy who had a hairdressing and waxing salon who understood her. So we got her translated. I was so thankful. And he thought I was crazy. You know, why are you so happy to have found me? But it took me 3 years to find someone in Australia who understood her dialect of Berber. So I'm very glad Siham is in the film and I'm glad that you like that scene with
Oh, when she turned around to her mother and said exactly what you said before, what do you think they're going to do, connect us? It's like, she's a yenta. She's a young yenta. I loved it. There's still ways of getting involved with, and we, after our next break, we're going to come back and talk to everybody about that, but get involved with Joy 94.9 now. Mm. Get on the phone because, can you hear that? What's that sound?
Silence.
Yes, sound of silence, because the phones aren't ringing. We've got these beautiful people out there donating for the joy of joy. So please, get on the phone. 1300 Joy 949. Join up and join us all in the big Joy family. Joy 94.9, it's 16 minutes to 3.
Badjar is a 24-hour service in Victoria helping sick and injured wildlife. If you spot a wild animal in need of attention, call us on our emergency rescue number 1300 Badjar. 1300 223 427. Badger, help us to help our wildlife.
I used to manage using the shower over my bath at my place, but it's been hard since my fall. My landlady won't fit a new shower, even though I've got a grant for it and it won't cost her a cent. I'm worried I'll end up in care when I'm still able to do things for myself.
Are you over 55? For advice and support with planning for your future housing needs, call Home at Last on 1300 765 178. Explore your options so you can find a lasting housing solution with Home at Last, 1300 765 178.
G'day everyone, this is Katie Noonan. Please call 1300 JOY 949 and become a member for Radiothon.
Absolutely, you are with Joy 94.9 during Radiothon. It is 14 minutes to 3. And we are here today with the lovely Genevieve Bailey, who's been talking to us about her film I Am 11. Now, just as you can get involved with the radio station here by joining...
Guess what Greg from Docklands did?
What did Greg from Docklands do?
Greg from Docklands joined.
He got involved.
He got involved. For the ninth time in a row, he has become a Joy 94.9 member. He simply called 1300 JOY 949, cracked out the plastic, and there he is. He's a member. Thank you very much, Greg from Docklands. And that's getting involved. And what else can we get involved in today?
Exactly.
Well, if anyone who's listening, any Joy listeners have ever been 11, we would love to hear from you. We have a website, iam11.com.
You don't look a day over 10.
Oh, thanks. If you, visit iam11.com, it's the word 11. You can see our Facebook and Twitter links. We'd love to hear from you. And what we want to do is invite you to send us a picture of yourself. So all you have to do is get a piece of paper, write down when I was 11, dot, 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 and finish the sentence with a memory from when you were 11. So we have a website, whenIwas11.com as well. And if you log on there, you can see hundreds of pretty faces from around the world sharing memories from when they were 11. So you can do that on Facebook. Go to our Facebook page, which you can find via I'm11.com, and pop up a picture of yourself, and we'd love to share it with this I'm 11 community around the world. So some people, as you can see, you're looking at the website now, wrote, when I was 11, I ate dog food for the first time. When I was 11, I got my first crush. It ended badly. When I was 11, my hamsters died. All these different memories that people have from when they're 11. So we'd love Joy listeners to, log on.
There's a startled woman here that said she was an author at 11.
Well,
I don't know what's more impressive, her startled face. And she does look like she's recoiling in some kind of horror. I don't.
Yeah, it's really...
What a great page.
It's been really fun to see all these memories from people around the world, because some people say, I don't remember when I was 11. Then they watch the film and they go, yes, I do. I had a crush on Tommy Betson and I chased him behind it, and they get all these memories and they come back. So we'd love to hear from listeners. And I also wanted to say, seeing that it's Radiothon time, if you log on to im11.com, you can click on Buy DVD and you can purchase the DVD. And if you send us an email with your purchase number saying that you're a Joy listener, then we will donate some of that money that you've paid for the DVD towards the Radiothon as a donation.
Oh, so, thank you. That's fantastic. This is getting involved.
Yeah. Absolutely. Very generous. And, yeah, fantastic always to be involved. So you can get on the website to order the DVD if you want your hard copy, which has, you know, fun bonus features. Or, you know, if you don't want to give Joy 94.9 your proceeds or you're a bit slack, then you can always download it from iTunes.
Yeah, it's on iTunes and you can also get it in stores. And as you said, the DVD's got 1 hour of bonus features. So we go back and see some of the kids now that they're teenagers and they're hairier and taller than me.
I was wondering about that because one of them does, don't they invite you to their wedding in the course of the interview? Was that Billy again from the UK?
Oh, Billy, when he was 11, was predicting when he gets married and didn't know who he was going to get married to and things like that, which is a nice little awkward moment.
But when you went back to see Billy, he had certainly grown up a bit and he was in love.
Yeah, Billy, he wears his heart on his sleeve. Hi,
it
Billy.
Sure does.
Billy will be listening if this if it goes on your podcast.
Yes, it will be on our podcast. And Billy's a favourite of Joy 94.9. And we would love him to join up and be a member.
See, Billy, people love you all over the world.
You very much love Billy.
Yeah, we also have a comments page on the website and people often leave messages for Billy saying how much they love him and how much they enjoyed watching him in 9/11.
My favourite thing was when he was ranking Jean-Claude Van Damme, I think he was, and he said, he's my fifth favourite.
I love that at 11 you have such very specific ideas about topics like who is the best action superstar and things like that. Like, just that level of opinionatedness and completely uncensored.
Like, did you like Kimberly Weinstein's predicted marriage proposal?
Yes.
Oh my God, you look so beautiful. Oh my God, I love your hair. Oh my God, I love your shoes.
I've known you for 45 minutes and I have a ring on me.
And it's not just that you know, we think that that's awkward, but she's like, she's totally upfront about the fact that she knows that's weird, but we're going to meet and it's going to be perfect and he's going to propose.
Absolutely. All on the 45 first minutes. I like the specific time frame she had for it. She was, good on her. And with that kind of sparkling personality, I could see it happening to her.
Absolutely.
Yeah, stay tuned for the next exciting adventures of Which Kids. Yeah.
Which is the next question. Are you going to keep following up, like the 7-Up series? I know that that's sort of been done before in a different way, and they're now into their 56th year of it. But when it came to Billy particularly and the way that he had grown up, and he was chatting to you on a staircase, and he was talking about this girl that had become his life.
Yes.
He had fallen very hard in love with a girl.
Ellen,
that's right. And so there must be a lot of stories, particularly as the girls in the orphanage start getting through schooling and getting closer to some of these goals they had as 11. The Moroccan community that you interviewed, to watch how they would have changed because of the Arab Spring. There's a lot of very big issues that have happened. Yeah. Are you going to chase that and how?
Yeah, well, when I was travelling around the world making I'm 11, I thought, I can't imagine not visiting these kids for the rest of my life. Like, they're like nephews and nieces now. But now that the film has been released and our cinema release went so well, and now on DVD we've been selling out, and people write to us saying, what's happening with Remy and how's Grace? Has she finished school and what's going on with Sharif? And audiences love these kids now that they've watched them. So of course we go back and we've been following up. We met up with Sam. We screened in Paris at the European Independent Film Festival over Easter. He's 190 centimetres tall now. Very, very handsome and charming Dutch man that he is. And so yeah, we do follow up interviews with them, and in the future, you know, we're not sure exactly when it will be, but we're definitely going to release a follow up so that audiences who loved I'm 11 can see the next instalment and follow, as you said, how these kids are going and what changes are happening in their lives and their communities.
And the such huge personalities. The little German girl that every
Luca.
Time she wasn't sure what her next question was, she just shrieked for her mother. And her mother was on hand going, yeah, here you go.
And she had clearly come up with a plan for what she wanted to communicate to you as well, which was cute. Just those enormous personalities.
She was very Ernsthaft. She was very German in her. Being a German is probably a good thing.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah, Luca's great. She's 19 now.
Is she really?
Yeah.
Okay, she must have been one of the earlier.
Yeah. Yeah, she was on my first trip. So I went into a bookstore and asked the lady if she had any kids, and she said, I have a 10-year-old and a 12-year-old. Why? I said, oh, I'm looking for 11-year-olds. And she said, there's a book over there. Pick it up. It was called 10 in Berlin. It was 10 photographs of 10 10-year-olds in Berlin. She said, my friend published that last year. They're all 11 now. Pick one. So I opened the book and I saw a picture of Luca, and I've always loved that name. And I said, what about this girl? And she said, yeah, she lives in the apartment across the street. I'll call her mother now. She rang up and said, okay, you can do the interview at 6 o'clock. Don't be late. And I was like, what are the chances of that? That's what I loved
about. Germans really are organized.
That's what I loved about traveling without a proper budget, without film funding. I had complete freedom and flexibility. So that became very difficult financially at times to finish the film and get it out. But at the same time, we had this freedom. Whereas if something was going well, I could change a train ticket, I could change a plane ticket and just roll with it. And I think that's the best thing about travel is being open to ending up in someone's house you've never met before, eating a massive vegetarian Chinese feast in the middle of a farm somewhere, and you don't quite know where you are, but you just feel happy because you're with people who are, yeah, intriguing and inspiring. And that was the great thing about making the film independently, is we really got to just follow our noses and follow our dreams, which was great.
What a fantastic story. Now, so you are going. Where are you going next?
Where am I going next?
Have you planned already?
I'm going to Sydney next month.
Are you crowdsourcing some funding?
Yeah, well, definitely would love to do
some
crowdfunding.
Like Zach Braff?
I don't need that much. I'm a bargain basement kind of. No. Yeah, I mean, that's the great thing about crowdfunding.
You could go by balloon.
Yeah, well, maybe. But we're taking the film to release it overseas. So we've screened at festivals all around the world now. Not all around the world, many places. And we're taking the film back up to Sydney this month because lots of people have been asking for it to come back. So we're continuing to do more screenings and community screenings and getting lots of 11-year-olds involved. So if anyone's listening and they know an 11-year-old, please also get in touch, because we're expanding I'm11.com this year to include many more 11-year-old voices. So
is that the best way for people to reach out to you, Genevieve?
Yeah, I'm11.com, or they can contact us through Facebook as well. So we want to encourage 11-year-olds to have their voices heard in the community. So I'm sure there's lots of people in the Joy community who know 11-year-olds or have 11-year-olds. And yeah, we want to get them to comment on themes that are explored in the film, like love, war, family, culture, religion, the environment, politics. And we just really believe in encouraging communities to have a bit more time for young people and to hear their voices. So.
Absolutely. And I mean, your film covers such huge differences and whatnot in terms of family structures, and the young lady from Australia who's the, you know, daughter of a single parent and immigrant families and all those kind of things. And so, you know, the opportunity here from maybe from some young Melbourneites, or even, you know, we have listeners all over the world who have two mums or two dads, to add to that kind of beautiful rainbow of stories.
Yeah, absolutely. If they want to write a poem or a story or even interview themselves, send us a little video. We can put that online and share their stories with the world.
Oh, please do that. I want to see that. Yeah. I want to see 11-year-olds interviewing each other right now.
I'm sure there's listeners who have got their brains ticking. So please don't be shy. Please get in touch with us, because we love sharing.
So you go to www.iam11, all words, no backslashes.
Yeah. So no numbers, just im11.com. We'd love to hear from people. And again, like, we're keen to hear if anyone wants to buy the DVD, send us a message. Mention that you're a Joy listener, and we can pass on some money to you guys.
Actually, no, not Joy listeners, Joy members. Make sure they send their membership number. And if you don't have a membership number, you can call us now, 1-300-JOY-949. And then your purchase will also contribute to keeping Joy on the air, so we can talk to brilliant people, this amazing young filmmaker. It really is a great story. I was watching it and I was getting a lot of goosebumps, and seeing how kids are just so similar in so many ways across cultures and across nations and all religions. And yeah, it's a great story. It's very affirming and well done.
Thank you. Well, I'm glad you guys liked it, and thank you for having me in to share this story of these awesome kids with your listeners. I appreciate it.
Can't wait to hear more about it.
This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
This podcast was produced by Joy Media. You can support Joy's diverse sound and diverse community this June by donating to Joy Radiothon 2024. Go to joy.org.au/radiothon. And remember, we all flourish with Joy.